Blog Talk Radio.
Divine Experience with Dr. Dacia Smith. That is me, Miss Divine Intrigue. And I just want to thank you all for joining me this evening. This is obviously not the regularly scheduled time of my show. However, with me having missed so many shows, having to schedule intermittently, throughout the week to kind of catch up because I am paying now for this service. I'm a premium member, so I do want to take advantage of, the time it's given me. And so that is why I am on the air tonight. I actually went to a church meeting, an evangelistic seminar this evening, and that's why I didn't air earlier. But our opening song that you just heard, that was B.B. and C.C. Winans, their rendition of I'll Take You There. Of course, most people know it was originally recorded by the Staple Singers in 1972, but they remade it in the 90s, and it's a wonderful, wonderful duet remake. And I actually played that in honor of or in memory of the late, great Donna Summer, who's been suffering cancer for quite some time, and actually, it was kept undercover pretty well there. I understand why she would want to do that, because certainly, the media doesn't care. Only those who are, connected with her would even really care about the trial that she was enduring, so... But, Donna Summer, very talented, multi-talented. She later in her life became a gospel singer. She returned to her gospel roots, if you will. So we will certainly miss her. And, again, she is one of the legendary voices, which, of course, for most of our music today, certainly secular music, there is no quality there, or very little quality. So anyway, we have said goodbye to her. Now, reminders of how you can connect with me on Twitter, twitter.com/divineintrigue. You can email missdivineintrigue@gmail.com. And I'm also on Facebook, my Facebook fan page, facebook.com/missdivineintrigue. I am currently undergoing revisions of the fan page until June 1st, 2012, but feel free to look me up on there. The 40 Facts of Life for Young Christians, that is scheduled to release June 1st, as well as starting my third and final Christian soap opera, Vanilla, on June 1st. It's sort of a fact based on fiction, or fiction based on fact, whichever way you want to phrase it there, a young lady going through adolescence and then into adulthood, and just her coming to terms with the disappointment and challenges and changes in her lives, and how she matures in the Lord through those experiences. I am so sorry, but for some reason, my chat room is just, it hasn't been working before, but for some reason, it's not. not coming up now, but anyway, if it comes up, I will certainly let you know. Also, the insight question today, we do have that. I will read it and respond to the writer, and then we'll also be posted to divineintrigue.net, which is where you can find the weekly episodes of the God Family Saga and the Way of the Righteous, the two Christian online Christian soap operas that I created. And again, you know, you can email missdivineintrigue@gmail.com with questions for me, or they could be insight questions, they could just be general comments, or, you know, I want to hear from the listeners, from the audience. Praise report. Well, summer is here, and I am so excited about summer. It is my favorite season, not only because my birthday is in the midst of summer, July 1st, but I just love the warm weather. I'm a warm weather person. You would think I was from the islands, but it is up. It is up. The chat room's open if you want to write into me in the chat room. And if you're not somebody who, let me just go ahead and make this known for those who don't know. If you don't have an account with Blog Talk Radio, you won't be able to actually correspond with me in the chat room. So, but I know there are many people who do have one. So, and you can also call in 818-688-5670. 818-688-5670. Oftentimes I don't give the number as much as I should. But where was I? Okay, so summer. Yeah, you would think I was from the islands, like St. Thomas, you know, like my in-laws or something, because I just love this warm weather. But actually, I'm not. I'm from right here in Mississippi, but that's just me. So I'm always excited to see that season come. Also, we had three children come to church yesterday all of their own accord. They live, their neighborhood children, two boys and a girl. They just decided they were interested, you know, school's out, and they were interested in checking out our church service, and praise God. We are so delighted to see them coming, you know, of their own accord and desire and interest. And now that we know that they come, you know, we have different church members designated to pick them up before the services, because we don't want them, you know, walking by themselves in the area day or night. But we're very glad to have them there. Prayer requests for graduates, high school and college graduates, you know, just in terms of not only their employment needs or for God to make very clear the next stages of their lives, but also, you know, emotionally and psychologically, what happens, you know, once you reach that milestone. And if we all think back, you know, we were excited and we were anticipating, but we were scared, you know, just out of our minds, if we're honest with ourselves. It was a very, very frightening, overwhelming time. And so we want to pray for God to give them peace and direction and guidance, and send people into their lives who can provide that with them as well. We also want to pray for the employment needs. Obviously, continues to be a very hot topic as we come up to this next presidential election, jobs and the creation of jobs, and then health needs. And, you know, summer is here. Next week is Memorial Day weekend. There will be many traveling, so we want to pray for traveling mercies for all of them. So let's have opening prayer. Father God in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, for keeping us here safe on this earth, allowing us to see another day, Father God. Those of us who have all of our faculties, all of our senses, Lord, we know that nothing is guaranteed in this world, and so we just give you glory and honor and praise for allowing us to continue to live. And Father God, help us to do your will as we live on this earth, to tell others about you, about your love, your mercy, your grace, the undeserved gifts of eternal life, Father God. And we also, we want to praise you for the young people who are coming to church, such as the two brothers and the sister who came. There are many who are coming on their own, seeking you, Father God, seeking your face. And we are so grateful. We are so excited for the opportunity to share your love with them, Father God. We want to pray also for those graduates, Lord God, at this time in their lives when they have so many uncertainties and are wondering which way to go, Father God. We want to pray for employment needs of all those who are in that predicament, and also health needs and traveling mercies as we go into the holidays. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So our POIs, people of influence for tonight, and I'll just state the names. We will talk about them later. Mark Zuckerberg, right, known to him, right? Kevin Phipps Sr. and Kevin Wells, and Karina Mims. So if those names, any of those names are unfamiliar to you, you will be enlightened shortly. The guiding scriptures for this week, 1 Corinthians 7:3 says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. We're going to be talking a little bit about marriage today. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So let's do a recap. Sorry to say this past week, but really, as I'm doing several shows this week, the most recent episodes of the Divine Intrigue soap operas. We'll start with the God Family Saga, and this episode is entitled Anniversary Agony because it's Jerry and Doug's 22nd anniversary, but with, you know, Jerry's cancerous condition that is fatal, is terminal, obviously. You know, it's a very painful time, and he's trying to make the best of the situation, comes in with a gorgeous gift and just, you know, gushing and just, you know, proclaiming and declaring his love for her that has not waned, that it has not faltered over the years, and she's very appreciative. But it's difficult in this circumstance. She's weak. She's tired. She's sickly. And, you know, it certainly has to take a toll emotionally. So, you know, thinking in terms of marriage in general and the commitment level that marriage requires, this is from the standpoint of God now. This is nothing that human beings have defined or conceptualized. Coming straight from the beginning of time, that first week of creation, when God ordained and sanctified marriage, you know, we are given a very clear outline of what that devotion entails. For better to love and to honor and to cherish, for better or for worse, in sickness and health, rich or poor, all those kinds of things. And so here, Doug is really being put to the test. Douglas Walker, you know, I was doing some research on the internet today, and there are so many reasons for divorce that are not substantial. There are certainly substantial reasons, but there are so many that are just frivolous. And unfortunately, the rate of divorce is higher among Christians than it is among non-Christians. But I would venture to say that is simply because in a non-Christian, you know, situation, I believe many of those situations, there is not the there's not the presupposition of, you know, fidelity necessarily. And what I mean by that is, you know, as Christians, we root our commitment to matrimony, our fidelity to the biblical standard that, you know, you should only be with your husband or wife. Well, somebody who does not ascribe to those principles, they might be swingers or they might be, you know, polygamous or whatever they might be doing. So, you know, I mean, I think that's, you know, a huge factor in why the numbers are so much higher. But I also think that Christians are more likely to get married for reasons such as a child being not wanting to have a child born out of wedlock, not wanting to appear unscrupulous or impious of some sort, and not really being in love, not really being ready for that level of commitment. And, you know, that love is an action. It's a process that occurs over time. You know, the whole idea of falling in love, well, you know, that takes time, and that process actually occurs in the marriage. If you truly want to, you know, give yourself to that completely and totally sacrificially, that you will take the time to invest in that. And so, you know, we just have to say, you know, kudos to Douglas Walker, because a lot of men would have left. If a spouse is sick, oftentimes people just get up and leave. They don't want to be bothered, or if the woman is barren, or the man becomes impotent. It's just, you know, they just find all kinds of superficial reasons for getting up and walking, you know, out. But, you know, he has stayed, and he's mostly he is concerned, and he is in anguish over the fact that he very well could lose his wife. And obviously Jerry is very distraught over what has befallen her. But anyway, I wanted to make a brief mention of the marriage and politics debate that's going on right now in the political realm, and, you know, in Nerdland this morning. I said I would never use that term, Nerdland, because I think it's kind of corny, but I'm using it. Melissa Harris Perry Show. You know, that subject came up when President Obama made his statement just a little while ago, that he did believe in the, you know, civil marriage equality, and that same-sex marriages should be allowed, what have you, following Joe Biden's statement. But, and, you know, the NAACP, you know, the chapters are in friction about, yes, it should be, no, it should not be. I think North Carolina chapter, they said this morning, had, you know, voted for it, and Utah or Iowa, whichever one, they vote against it. Well, I just want to say, because this is not a political show, so I'm not going to dwell on this. To me, both chapters are wrong in this case, because anyone who tries to make marriage a legal issue, a secular issue, is wholly and completely in the wrong. Because it is not a secular issue, it is a biblical issue. It is a biblical principle that God himself ordained and sanctified, for he created Eve for Adam. That was Adam's request, man for woman, woman for man. So when we start getting into all of these different belief systems and philosophies about, you know, whether somebody should or should not be permitted to, quote-unquote, marry somebody of the same sex. You know, I would never even vote on the issue, and this is also my church's stance. We don't get involved in politics because Jesus didn't get involved in politics. If you, you know, recall, you know, biblical situations and scenarios where Jesus was like, look, render unto Caesar what Caesar. You're going to deal with Caesar, deal with Caesar. You come to me, you're going to hear the word of God. And, you know, he never approached people with, like, you need to come out of your sin, or we're going to pass a law that's going to make you come out of your sin. No. He preached the word of God. People made a choice on their own. Then he let the Holy Spirit work. People made a choice on their own of whether to accept it and change their lives or not. And we need to still be that way today. We do not need to be trying to mandate any sorts of laws or statutes prohibiting same-sex people from engaging in what they perceive as marriage, you know, because it still doesn't change what God acknowledges as marriage. And we all know what that is according to the Bible. So I'm just done with it. It just doesn't even, it doesn't matter to me. I would never vote on it or anything, because it's not, to me, it's not a political issue. It's a biblical moral issue, and that is something that is between a person and the Lord. So enough of that. Now, the way of the righteous, Sam's story this week, wow, you know, we have learned so much more about Sam. And Sam, you know, if you recall from the beginning, from the earlier episodes, you know, Sam was not a Christian when he met Erica, and through getting to adore her, admire her, and wanting to grow closer to her, he began to explore deeper the Bible and Christian beliefs and practices and so forth. Also, you know, getting educated from her. But, you know, at the last climax for them, you know, that episode where they had the, you know, very heated, passionate make-out experience, and he felt guilty that he had led her into some type of lustful, you know, tendency or, you know, proclivity, and so he felt bad about that, and so he just cut off, you know, the communication for that time. When we look at Sam's story, you know, we find out Sam's been through a lot in his life. He got his teenage girlfriend pregnant, and, okay, I don't want anybody to call and say that I'm sounding very biased. He and his teenage girlfriend conceived a child, okay? I'm not going to say that he got her pregnant. They conceived a child, and the child was stillborn. He was in love with this girl. He wanted to marry her. She could not handle, she never recovered from the loss of her unborn child. She had a psychological break, if you will. The layman's term is, you know, became mentally insane and ended up committing suicide. So he, you know, went through a lot at a very, very young age, and he basically shut off that desire for a woman in a physical way for 10-plus years. Now, people are like, it's not realistic, right? And you know, I wrote this particular episode, this particular part, chapter from, you know, I mean, what I perceive to be, this is ideally the way that I believe a man of God should operate in his mind. And it's all based upon biblical principles. It's nothing that I'm just saying, okay, this is Dr. Dacia's opinion or standpoint. This is all traced back to biblical. So, you know, I'm inviting at this time any man who has ever been through an extensive period of celibacy as an adult. And when I say extensive, I really, 10 years is what I would like to, I mean, that's the first, but if not 10, then 5 or even a couple, and then maybe after that you might have gotten married or what have you. But, you know, call in or get online in the chat room. You know, what led you to that place? In Sam's case, it was for secular reasons. He was really, you know, he had not, you know, emotionally he was just a wreck, a mess. And he was not ready. He just couldn't even think in terms of getting that close to someone again, to have a physical relationship. But, you know, for others, certainly it is spiritual. It is that, you know, spiritual vow that has been taken to consecration. But if you have, for any reason, please call in because we would love to hear your story, how similar yours may be to Sam's, and in that, because truly the Lord and the Holy Spirit does a work in you when you have mortified the flesh and denied yourself that. So anyway, we're going to move on, but please do call in or go online to the chat room. Now, our POIs for this week, people of influence, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook founder and CEO. You know, he got married this past weekend to some Miss Chan, or Dr. Chan, I should say. She's a doctor, his college sweetheart. They've been together for almost 10 years. But what is so incredible about Mark Zuckerberg? Obviously, he's a person of influence because he masterminded this whole Facebook, I don't know what you would call it. It's just a revolutionary social network. But, you know, almost a billion people use it. He himself is under 30. He is one of the richest people in the world. And, but he's so humble. If it is true what they say about him, and I do believe it's true, because they have no reason to, you know, mask the reality of someone. He is a very simplistic person. He does not drive a luxury car. His home is in Palo Alto, California, which is a very nice area in the Stanford vicinity. But they say his home is very modest. He's just a very down-to-earth kind of guy. He's a handful of friends on the Facebook thing himself. So nothing ostentatious about this man whatsoever, but he has truly changed the lives of so many. I reconnected with friends from elementary school in Germany. So there'd be no way I would probably ever see or hear from them again had not been for this venue. So Mark Zuckerberg, and I wish him the best for his marriage. I don't know what his spiritual convictions are, but I do know that Facebook has been used to spread the message and spread the word of the gospel, because I get, you know, quotes and such all the time through my page that I, you know, I say that I like, or, you know, I may pass those on to someone else, or, you know, so it can be used to, you know, promote the word of God, and it is used that way. So moving on, and we always have Memphis people. Kevin Phipps Sr. and Kevin Wells, they came to speak during our career week at my school to one of the fourth grade classes. Kevin Phipps Sr. is the father of one of our students. And they are actually probationary officers. They work within the juvenile delinquent justice system. And what I really appreciated about when they came to speak with the kids, it wasn't just about, ooh, you know, don't do this, and the admonition of don't get yourself caught up in bad, terrible, horrible things and all of the negative stories, but they focused on really asking for the sake of wanting to know what these kids' goals were. And getting them, if they didn't know, getting them to think about forming the goals, because the goals keep a person on track with their lives. And that's what prevents, you know, the sidetrack or the deterrence into self-destructive paths, is those goals that are formed early on, and that you believe, truly believe, that you can accomplish and achieve those goals. So they were just awesome and so engaging with their presentation. I very much appreciate them coming. Karina Mims from the University of Memphis, she is an admissions representative. She came. I invited several colleges to come and speak at our career fair. Once they found out that I was at an elementary school, I didn't hear back from most of them. But Karina Mims did contact me back. She came and spoke with our fourth graders. And let me tell you, they were so delighted to have her come and to have her share about the preparation of college with them. Just the fact that she took the time, because she could have said, I'm not going to fool with fourth, please. You know, I've got better things to do, more important things to do. But she didn't. She took the time with these young, young children to provide them with knowledge and insight into college and what to expect and how to prepare. So I definitely appreciate her for that. Now we are going to get into, and our main theme for today was the safe and spiritually sound summer fun. I'm going to do a top 10 list like one of my other blog talk radio cohorts taught me to do, because people love top 10 lists. They love them. So I'm going to start, and all these activities, they are mostly, you know, spiritual based. There are some that could be, you know, secularly they could be done, but of course, mostly be from a spiritual perspective. But number one, you should try to unlock your passion for artistry, whether that be playing a musical instrument, singing, dancing, drawing, writing. And if you've never experienced that before, now is the time. You know, take the summer to start. Get your motivation and your ideas from just walks in the park, walks through nature, you know, prayer, you know, to the Lord about, you know, give me an idea, give me something to write about, or, you know, an instrument that you've always wanted to play, but you never. And, you know, you don't even have to invest. You can rent an instrument and learn to play. You don't even have to invest a whole lot of money. Singing, dancing, there are free dancing classes all over. They even have it at the library now. You know, drawing, all these kinds of things. But get into that artsy side of yourself, because everybody has one somewhere, and it may be deep down. It may be repressed because you have been told that, you know, some people have been told that arts are just, you know, for really kind of out there, eccentric, just alternative type people, and it's not a productive use of time, but that is so untrue. And, you know, David was an artist. Solomon was an artist with words. David was an artist with music. You have all types of artists, so that's important. Number two, learn a second language. And, again, you don't have to go and purchase the expensive Rosetta Stone, even though I've heard that it is a phenomenal tool for learning a second language. But you can check out some books from the library. But that's another way that you can communicate with somebody who may not speak your language, as far as the gospel, you know, the Bible, and just helping them to get to know more about the Lord. If you can speak their language and communicate, that opens you up to a whole new realm of connections. So whether that be Spanish or Japanese, French, or whatever it is, you know, make an effort to do that. I know that I am brushing up on my Spanish this summer. You can read inspiring literary works or novels. You know, reading is an imaginative world of its own. And I think, you know, at times we don't realize just how powerful reading can be and how it can help not only enlighten us in terms of the knowledge, but you begin to, I think, learn more about yourself as you read certain works, especially if they're self-help works or if they're novels that maybe, you know, you can relate to a particular character or a situation. And I would certainly, you know, the Christian novels, some of the Christian fiction novels are not maybe necessarily the best to read if you're not very strong in your faith, because sometimes some of the themes and the topics they address are more for sensationalism than to really help somebody grow in the Lord. But definitely the self-help, inspirational works that you can read. James Dobson has some great ones on relationships. You know, certainly I think you, you know, would benefit a lot. I know I benefit a lot from, I'm reading one on single parenting right now, just for the information, just for the whole growth process. And number four, begin an exercise regimen. You know, the weather's nice early in the morning before it gets hot. Walk your neighborhood. I know I'm going to be walking the new neighborhood that I've moved into because I love walking. Do like 2 or 3 miles a morning. Or you could do workout tapes at home or workout DVDs. They have a lot of churches now that have Zumba classes, aerobics classes, all free. So there's really no excuse. You know, if you're into yoga and that sort of thing, I know I'm supposed to be taking a salsa class in a few weeks because I do like that type of rhythmic dancing movement. I'm not saying that by church, you know, supports that necessarily, but I do. To me, it's just very good for relaxation and obviously for the recreational, the fitness piece. So that's important. Learning or an experiment with healthier cooking recipes. Take some cooking classes. You can just go online. You can't find free cooking classes. Go online to some of these websites, healthy recipes, vegetarian recipes, or recipes using poultry if you're trying to stay away from the beef and the pork, more healthier or healthier dietary choices. It's a wonderful time to do that because you could have family gatherings, have people over and introduce new recipes or take some out to them, and they'd be like, wow, how did you discover this? And then you can say, you know, you've had some time to experiment. Attend free community events. And I want to give a plug for one free community event that you should definitely attend, the Divine Experience Summer Seminar. This is the first annual one, Saturday, July 14th or Sunday, July 15th, because it's going to be the same seminar both days, so you don't have to come both days. But it's a day-long seminar, place to be announced, be from 9 o'clock a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m., and it's entirely free. Breakfast and lunch are covered. However, it is just limited to 10 people. So once I start June 1st, everything's happening June 1st, I will get up the officially open registration, and, then you will be open to sign up. But definitely would love to have you join. We're going to be covering, some different topics. One of them is going to be the health and the fitness as far as eating and exercising. We're also going to have a relationship segment. We're going to watch a video, and then we're going to have a discussion, a roundtable discussion about the video related to relationships and family. And then we will close out the day after lunch with some entertainment segment that I think will be very enjoyable. So more details coming on that later. I will post them to divineandtree.net, and each week I'll be providing more information. But that's one free community event right there, and there are a host of others at libraries and community centers and other places that you could go to. Great opportunity to meet other people and to share, to witness other people about how great God is. And then you can have a house party. I'm having a house party next weekend in my new place I moved into. House parties are fun. You can invite people over, and they're in your space. They're in your domain. So, you can present certain things to them that they may not otherwise know or have the time to hear in terms of just, spiritual convictions, or maybe they have questions for it. It'd be a great time to invite somebody over for Bible study or, something like that. The next couple are for if you have a family, if you're married, have a spouse, if you have a child, create family fun days with your child or spouse. My son and I have some of those plans. The shows will be on location next month in Texas, Arlington, Texas. But we're going there for a program that he's involved in. And, throughout the summer, we'll have different events planned where we can just do some things that he enjoys, outdoor activities, zoo and different water-type activities, which I can't stand those, but he likes them, so I always try to accommodate or appease him to an extent. And Hurricane Harbor, Six Flags, whatnot. But just those family fun days, that time, because in the summer you have more of that time than you do at other times of year. Winter, it's cold. Many times you can't get out and do things unless it's right around that holiday time. And fall is really busy starting back to school, and it's harder. Spring and summer are really the times when many of those activities are done. So make a list of different places you can visit in town. Again, a lot of them are free. You want to travel to visit other relatives or friends. Now, this part does get into the money. Obviously, you have to have finances to travel. But make it as economical as you can. you know, drive your own car if your car is drivable rather than rent a car. If your car is not drivable, renting a car would be cheaper than having your car go out and having, you know, all types of mechanical issues if it's not a car that's durable to go out of town. You know, maybe travel, don't go past a certain area, or, you know, booking your tickets far in advance, those kinds of things. Having someone to stay with, reside with when you get there for the duration that you were there rather than hotel costs and such. So, you know, you can make it, you know, as affordable as possible. And then lastly, you want to relax, relate, release, and enjoy your summer. So hopefully that helps a bit for those who are wondering, what am I going to do? And doing these things will keep you from getting yourself into trouble. And let's just be honest, we're all adults listening to the show, or mostly adults. If you're not an adult listening to the show, this is still a good lesson for you. So the bottom line is, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So if you're sitting around, if you're single and you're sitting around waiting for Mr. Right to come along, or if you're a man waiting for Mrs. Right to come along, you are going to waste a lot of time and more than likely get involved in a very detrimental relationship situation. So don't do it. You know, partake of these activities that are just going to grow you in so many ways. Okay, next we have our insight question of the day, and this was a very, very interesting from some grandparents, actually. As they say, dear Miss Divine Intrigue, we know that you work with children and have a preteen son of your own, which is why we thought we'd write to you. We are grandparents, and our son and daughter-in-law are sending our grandson to visit us for the summer. He comes every summer, so this is no surprise, and we anticipate his arrival, usually. But this year, we are a little anxious and unsettled. He's just turned 13, and we have no idea how to entertain him. Of course, we have the Wii and a few of the other video games, but honestly, we don't want him to be an electronic recluse all summer. Last summer was kind of tough getting through, and we weren't even sure he would want to come back and visit with us again. But his parents say that he does. At any rate, we want to be prepared. He's now old enough to participate in our youth teens group at church, and we know they have fun activities planned, but what about other times? For example, when we want to have conversations with him about his interests, what if he thinks that's so lame? We would like for this to be a memorable, enjoyable summer with no teen drama. Could you offer us some advice on how to ensure this happens? Thanks so much, and God bless. Sincerely, Grimacing Grandparent. So, first of all, I want to say to these grandparents, bravo to you. Much kudos and commendation, because most grandparents, I think, would not keep their grandchildren for the entire summer. So that says a lot about you and the sacrifice that you're willing to make of your time, especially with the age he is. Yes, that teenage age, my son is 12, will be 13 at the end of this year. So I know it's so, in fact, this morning, let me share a story about my son this morning, because the whole thing now, he didn't like the way I fixed the eggs, and he doesn't like the way I fixed the toast, and he doesn't like the way I fixed it. I'm like, will you just get up and get in your own house, Negro? But, you know, I can't do that yet. It's not time. It's not time. So I understand. But, you know, so I think the first step, and I really, you know, I hear in your through your words, I symbolically hear that, you know, you want this connection, this rapport with your grandson. And I think that's well, because grandparents have such a strong, significant influence on their grandchildren spiritually, emotionally, in so many ways. And so I would say the first step would be to contact him, talk to him on the phone, and, you know, you could just ask him very casually, you know, what are you, when you come this summer, what are you expecting, or what would you like? Don't say what are you expecting, because that might be a little daunting for him. Say, what would you like to do? What have you been thinking that you would want to do? And then he, you know, he'll probably open up, it'll catch him so off guard, he'll probably just open up and be honest, you know, with, I want to go dirt bike riding or skate, whatever he says he wants to do. And that way you have kind of an idea of what he's expecting. Now, if anything is completely out of alignment with what you all would be comfortable allowing him to do or having him to do, then that would be the time to sort of restructure or reframe his ideas or his expectations and anticipations into something that would work, that would be comparable and amenable. So, you know, I think that's definitely a first step. Then, you know, once he gets there, you'll want to take those opportunities when, especially over food, is an excellent time to just have him talk and open up with breakfast, or if it's, because it's summer, so it's not like he's in a hurry to get anywhere. Breakfast, dinner, those times to really get him to open up and talk a lot about just his life and what he's going through, whether it be in school or with friendships or whatever. And then to, you know, offer advice in a caring but, you know, non-imposing way, unless, of course, you hear something really awful on out there, and at that point, his parents need to be notified, and you do need to step in. But it's assuming that you won't get any of that, but it's, you know, it really starts. The mealtime is such, it's such a convening time in all families. And so I would certainly use that. And again, you said that there's your youth group that he can be a part of. He will love that. Pierce's his own age. He doesn't go to school there, so he's in that city where you all live. So he doesn't have close friendships unless it's some that he's built with up over the summers. And there may be some of them, and hopefully they're in the youth group as well. But that will, you know, occupy you know, a pretty large segment of time. But again, you know, you want to continue praying that the Lord will open up his desire and his want to communicate with you and to share with you before he even gets there. You want to be praying and doing devotional with him while he's there. And you need to get a adult devotionals are not going to be as effective because he is so young. I have a book called God's Little Devotional for Teens, and my son and I do devotionals every morning from this book, but the way in which they have the devotionals formatted, it really fits. I mean, they're short, sweet, and to the point what teens want, but it hits them with that profound message and that profound point that they can carry with them throughout that day and each subsequent day. So you want to get something like that that's attuned to that age group. And, you know, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. I know it's murky, you know, but it will be fine. And I know that if he can't see it right now, because he is in that stage, that adolescent teen, early teen stage where, you know, there's a lot of egocentrism. The world kind of revolves around me. And, you know, if I'm going through heartache and hurt, then, you know, it's all over and nothing else matters. I mean, he could have that mindset, which is the typical mindset right now. But at a point, he will come to recognize just how valuable you all have been to him. And so I pray that everything goes well this summer. Again, plan some of those family fun day activities that you know, I think he would appreciate whatever he's into, if he's into the water rides or, you know, whatever he might be into or enjoy. You know, plan a couple of those, a few of those, and go from there. But I will certainly keep you in prayer, grandparents, and your grandson. I know you will have a fantastic summer. So I want to just let everybody know that the next show will be Wednesday, May 23rd, again at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time this time. And then I'm doing another one on Friday night, and then I'll be pretty caught up. But definitely the Divine Intrigue episodes will be posted soon, the next set of episodes. And Jerry's Dooming Declaration and April's Commencement Announcement will be the next set of episodes. And also, let me just say, before we close out in prayer, you know, I just believe that if people really focused on, and this is everybody, this is me included, because we have that side of us, that humanity, that element of imperfection, and that element of being prone to sin, I think, you know, it then becomes difficult to push all that aside and really focus on what God would have us to do and who he would have us to be. And I was having a conversation with a friend earlier today, and we were talking about, you know, is it in fact true that a man cannot be celibate if he has to have or engage in sexual intercourse because of a physiological imperative? And I didn't buy it. And my friend knows I didn't buy it. But there, you know, there certainly is that camp out there that espouses that and, you know, claims there is empirical evidence. But, you know, I think, again, what it comes down to is we have these choices, and we talked about tonight in our evangelistic campaign seminar, Revelation Judgment Hour. We do have choices, and sometimes those choices can be hard to make. Summertime is a time when a lot of people are doing things which they should not be doing. And it's because, you know, it's warm outside, being outside more, being free. It just lends itself in a lot of cases to activity that people might not otherwise do. So it's very, very important. And if you're married, your commitment needs to be to your spouse. It needs to be to your spouse. That's your best friend who you should be spending the most time with, sharing with, engaging with, all those kinds of things. And if you're not married, and you're single, then in my single state, in my singlehood, I was told this so many times by so many people, and I never listened because I was a school teacher. As soon as summer would come, I would be wondering, and that was the time that I put on all my cute sundresses and stuff, so I would get approached a lot and go on these dates, and it would be nothing like what I thought, you know, the guy was like. He was either had the ulterior motive of trying to, you know, obtain sexual favors or whatever the case may be, and I wasn't having any of that. But, you know, summertime, just so much more exposure and susceptibility to improper feelings, just put it that way. Be careful, beloved. do be careful. So we have closing prayer now, and then we will close out to Close to You by B.B. and C.C. Winans. It is very often a wedding song that is used, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful sentiment for married couples everywhere. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your sanctity of marriage, Father God, that you ordained at creation between Adam and Eve, in regards to whatever the larger society, local factions, and so forth say. We know, Father God, what you declared it to be and what you acknowledge and recognize it to be, and that doesn't change, regardless of what laws or mandates are put in place. So we thank you, Lord, for your direction, your guidance, and just for the clarity in your word on what should and should not be. And we have to, you know, we have to leave this out. We continue to preach your word. Those who are open to hear and listen, let the Holy Spirit move in their hearts and in their lives and their minds. I pray that everyone would have safe and spiritually sound summer fun. Lord, for those who are lonely, aching, wanting a relationship, or whatever the case may be, I've been there several years in a row. Father God, just help them, Lord. Help them, Lord, to be satisfied and content with the state in which you have them, and to, as I mentioned in these activities, just partake of something that's going to help them and grow them in spiritual maturity, Father God, for those married. Father God, repair and restore any marriages which are able to be repaired and restored in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bridge the gap between those couples. In the Son of Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. And now we will close out to BB and CC One and Close to You. I will see you next. Sorry, a little technical difficulties, but we'll get there. There we go. Sorry about that. Your